Around Comics, Episode 83.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-hosts of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
Tom, are you okay?
So restrained.
I'm fine. How are you guys? This is my new FM radio voice.
Oh, I
hey,
see.
You're listening to the cool sounds of Around Comics.
Well, it is a true roundtable today. We split John Suntress into three equal...
like Voltron.
The three components of John Suntress.
He's like Jamie Madrox. He just... Bloop, bloop,
bloop, we have his legs to the right of me.
and to the right of Tom is one of the hosts of the Comic Book Queers podcast. He is Eric.
Woo! Hi.
And coming around the table is one of our favorite guests. He is the DC exclusive artist and the current artist on the all new Atom. He's Mr. Mike Norton.
Mark Norton.
I'm the blue lion.
And current pug owner.
Yes, current pug owner.
Yes.
New pug owner.
I'm so disappointed that you didn't bring Ninja.
Tonight. Well, I'm sure Mark's
here.
Happy I didn't.
Ninja's here. You just
we
can't
just don't
see
know
him.
It.
In the shadows.
And the other co-host for Comic Book Queers, a return guest, Mr. Stevie D.
Yo.
So what's up?
What is with
you
all
guys
this
sound
big
completely
balls
different
grow
than you do on your
hey,
show.
Hey, everyone. Let's this is some Stevie Nicks now.
Stevie Nicks.
Got some Buckingham Nicks.
Cool. Well,
this... This is one of our news and reviews episodes. We're going to be getting to all of that in just a couple moments, but first I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it, the graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on Around Comics for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Thanks again to the fine folks at Borders. Remember to check out that 20% off coupon at aroundcomics.com. Want to let everyone...
Coupon.
It's a coupon.
It's not a coupon.
I didn't say coupon.
You guys can pick up a coupon.
It's croupon.
Crouton.
Coupon.
20% off croutons.
We're going to have a beautiful weekend in Chicago. You might want to take that coupon out and walk around the neighborhood. You'll find Borders.
What's the weather going to be like, Tom?
It's going to be sunny in the 60s. I think it's the best weather we've had so far this year.
Well, all right.
Want to let everyone know
and
that,
now let's listen to
that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. There's apparently, a lot of people took us seriously last time we said that.
There's a lot of delicious restaurants in the neighborhood as well. if you come to the neighborhood and take a look around in your
it's
phone book.
NPR.
hey, everyone.
It's a Terry Gross moment.
There's some album cuts.
Some deep cuts.
All right.
I've derailed the show.
As I said, this is one of our news and reviews episodes. That means it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, right off the top here, Milton Caniff fans, time to rejoice. It's Caniff.
I know.
It's actually pronounced Maltine.
Maltine Caniff.
Maltine Caniff.
Throw me to the mat right off the bat here.
Is it really Caniff?
It's Milton
I
Caniff.
I never knew that.
Yes. How did you pronounce it?
I always said Caniff.
I thought it was Caniff.
No, it's called a Milton
Caniff.
C.
Caniff?
Milton C.
MC.
Well, anyway.
MC Terry and the Pirates.
I'm sure they'll have the pronunciation.
MC Terry.
Fans of Milton Caniff and Terry and the Pirates, IDW is going to be republishing a new six-book series collecting the entirety of the Terry and the Pirates series.
IDW, this is their second announcement. I think we have another story later in the news, but that was actually earlier in the week, of they're doing the Peanuts? Is that IDW? Yeah. Oh, no.
Nice.
No, I'm sorry. Not Peanuts. That's Fantagraphics. Right. But they did do another. Is it Zorro? I think they announced. Or something else.
You'll get it.
Yeah, sooner or later.
I've recently seen Sans for a new telenovela about Zorro.
Yeah. I saw that. Telemundo.
I want to watch that.
Or no, there was something else.
For
Terry the Pirates.
Wrong reasons.
I don't understand a lick of Spanish.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, IDW seems to be getting into this sort of Fantagraphics mode of publishing strips and you know, doing hardcovers out of old comic strips. So kind of interesting to see what they're going to come up with next. But anybody a Terry and the Pirates fan?
Everybody's coming here.
Who's
tonight.
Here?
Jason Moy, Gary Carbon.
Hey, we got a party.
I did too.
Come on over.
They brought a girl.
How many people did you email, Chris?
John Sutcher doesn't show up, and Chris emails everyone
those
he knows.
Those are awfully big shoes to fill.
And because everyone is a comic book nerd, no one is doing anything on a Friday night. Everyone's like, awesome.
No, I was going to stay home and watch The Munsters on DVD I got from Netflix. I'll shut up now.
Wow.
Actually, Malay's here just to get some fantasy baseball advice.
Let's not get into that.
We've got our draft this week.
Don't care. Right. I've been hearing it like every day.
I'm not going to be the one to bring you back on subject, I guess. But
okay.
I can't believe that, but I've always heard of Terry and the Pirates. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've never read one.
I feel like I should turn in some kind of comic book card or something for saying that.
I haven't either.
I think if you're not at least 50,
right.
You know, it's just sort of out of that realm of
that's
anything
that
was around.
I would say that, and Andrew Peapoy shows up, smacks me in the face.
Yeah.
He would, too.
Yeah.
I think
he really loves his old
he'd stab you in the
Hillary Barta would probably.
Well, whenever we talked with Gene Colan several months back, he mentioned that Caniff was one of his big influences.
What about Caniff?
Oh, gosh.
That guy
me.
Didn't do anything.
What about Charles Schulz?
Yeah, the Peanuts dude.
Yes.
He's dead.
Yes.
Was he a Mormon?
I don't know. Was he a Mormon?
That's Bill Keane. Oh, okay.
Bill Keane's a Mormon?
I get that. But they both have, like, bald.
Orson Scott Card. Isn't Orson Scott Card a Mormon?
They're all Mormon.
Yeah,
he
is.
Well, the reason I mentioned Charles Schulz is because
I just got an image of Pigpen taking a roundabout route up to being crucified on a cross. Sorry. Rest of the episode.
With the dust floating behind him.
Yeah.
For free comic book day, you can find the story of Pigpen on a cross.
It's a mini comic that Tom's done.
It is the Unseen Peanuts, and I really don't think it is a Pigpen messianic story. But during Free Comic Book Day, there's going to be a previously unpublished Unseen Peanuts comic coming out.
Wow. The one where Franklin Jack Schrader in the face.
No, Charlie finally kicks that damn football.
Schrader?
Hey, back to
Schroeder.
Schroeder.
Sorry.
Back to Terry.
You made it sound even more German.
Can it?
Schrader.
Von Schrader.
Von Schrader.
Back to Terry and the Pirates. I just wanted to, you said it was going to be
peanuts now.
Six. I know, but before we moved on from it, you said it was going to be six different volumes. Because this is
it's a six book series collecting the entirety of
okay, but it's one volume. Right. It's $50. It's 368 pages. I just didn't want people to be confused about that. Volume one
they're
is
not going to be any more confused.
Or maybe there are going to be six volumes at $50.
I'm assuming it's going to be six volumes
at $50 each, collecting the entire.
Great, I can add that to my EC archives and my absolutes and more. I hope you're not listening to this.
How big is your bookshelf?
Getting
you've
bigger
ever
all
been
the
to
time.
His house?
I've got five.
He lives in a condo built out of hardcovers.
Wow.
As he reads them, he puts them outside and then grabs the next one.
They rotate through.
This will be my roof.
All right. Sorry about Terry and the Peanuts.
Okay,
Unseen Peanuts.
Unseen Peanuts.
Terry and the Peanuts. It's a mashup.
There's a crossover.
Unseen crossover.
They were in
a
battle of the bands with Josie and the Putty
Cat. Putty
Cat. The Putty Cat.
Oh, boy. Now,
there's another crossover.
Now there comes the Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Our Snagglepuss in the gems.
Well,
the holograms.
Get it right.
You know, if we're going to talk Snagglepuss, though, we have to get Chris's Snagglepuss dream on tape, because he told us this story last week, but we weren't recording.
This is right.
Let's stop, because this is the greatest story
involving.
I want to hear the Snagglepuss. I want our listeners to hear the Snagglepuss dream.
Man, I wish this was all right, a Crankcast.
this is turning into the Crankcast.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
All right, so I'm probably 24 at this point, so it's like 10 years ago, and it was my first live-in girlfriend after I graduated from college, and I'm in Iowa, and it was, things were going okay, but, you know, it's my ex-girlfriend, so eventually it didn't go okay. And I had this dream one night that we were at a local bar in Iowa, and it was, I guess, you know, a bad omen of things to come, because in the dream, you know, I'm sitting at a table, and my girlfriend walks up to the bar, and all of a sudden, Snagglepuss walks up to her at the bar and is, like, hitting on my girlfriend.
Heavens to Mintos, I'm having hallucinations with complications, even.
Were you threatened?
I'm just sitting there in disbelief.
Because, honey, he's on our team.
I'm like a girl with spirit, but this is ridiculous.
All right. This is not how it ends, though.
Snagglepuss picks up my girlfriend,
was it the bow tie?
And he's like walking out of the bar with her, and I'm like, Julie, where are you going? And Snagglepuss just looks at me and goes, exit, stage left.
Exit, double quick time, stage right.
Woke up, cold sweat, screaming.
That was no dream.
That was Mike and a suit.
Dude, him and Huckleberry Hound double teamed.
Oh my god.
It was not a happy dream.
All right.
I think that was a mescaline hallucination or something.
What did you smoke that?
I had some issues.
Dude,
I had issues.
Hank is sitting. We have like a 15-year-old listening to this horrible.
Santa Barbara, some pimps.
All right, back to the news.
Well,
sorry, I had to stop for that.
It was a wacky race to your girlfriend.
Thanks for that embarrassing moment in Chris's life. I appreciate it.
I've got stories, but I ain't telling them.
Snagglepuss stories?
Well, no.
Well, after
Huckleberry Hound,
after the Unseen Peanuts, we're going to get Grendel's lost story. Matt Wagner is going to revisit Grendel. It's coming out in, what is this, July for $2.99?
50-cent prologue issue.
Okay, 50-cent prologue, and then colored in black and white, and color palettes synonymous with the stories of Hunter Rose. Each issue in this eight-part series contains 20 pages of story and retails for $2.99. So it's an eight-part series with a 50-cent prologue.
Grendel, behold the devil.
Sounds like a lot of details, guys. I'm just going to show up and look at it, and if I like it, I'm going to buy it.
There you go.
Why not?
Well, I know he's also releasing, I think, in either a hardcover format or trade format, he had done some untold origin story of Grendel. He had only done it as like a con exclusive back in the early 90s.
Is it a collectible?
Does it say
well, the original issue? One was.
Is
and
that
then, but he's
one
not
for
get
the
that
black
off
book that he did? The Kamiko Black Book?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, I was a huge Grendel fan, especially the Hunter Rose Grendel.
Were you a mage fan?
I was a huge mage fan. Actually, I want him to stop doing Grendel and finally get back on Hero Denied.
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
Know, I want to see that.
That's a challenge.
He's
from
becoming
Mike
like George.
Norton.
Yeah, he's becoming like George Lucas for me. You know, it's just like, am I going to be dead before it comes out?
Sure. Well, I just started going back and rereading Mage. I probably haven't read it since I was a teenager.
Admit it, you never read it.
I've never read it.
Exit stage left.
No, I never should have said that.
He made off with my girlfriend and my mage comics.
Wait, I gotta go Google some.
You had a dream where Huckleberry Hound was pissing on your mage comics.
Bad dog.
Bad dog.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
Well, I know David Price is going to be looking forward to that. He's one of the biggest Matt Wagner fans.
Well, I'm a huge... I told Matt Wagner at a convention once that he was one of the reasons that I wanted to draw comics, and he said, don't blame me.
And you do.
And you showed up wearing you're wearing only a barrel with two straps.
and a lightning bolt shirt.
And a jug with three X's on it. Like I brought some for everyone.
For whatever reason, I never got into Grendel, but I was a huge fan of Mage.
Right.
I was
a lot younger than I probably should have been to be liking Grendel when it came
out.
You're
smarter than the average kid.
Well,
than the average bear.
The reason why I never... Wow, we are totally on the cartoon this episode. But now you made me forget what I was going to say. I didn't get into Grendel as much because he was a bad guy. And I was just like,
yeah,
I'm not supposed to like the bad guy. I like the good guys. You know, Kevin Matchstick's a good guy, you know?
Yeah, it was sort of the same thing. I never really... I just wasn't attracted to it for some reason.
Yeah.
And it had that look about it that it was a darker...
I remember
sort
thinking,
of book and
the bad guy can't look that cool.
You know? Vader did.
Ever a Mage fan?
Steve? I've never read Mage. I've never read
really?
Grendel.
Get out.
Okay.
No, you can stay, because I haven't either.
What?
You would like Mage.
What? Well, maybe
mainstream.
I would. Well, maybe I would, but get out of my face about it, Mr.
The hardcovers are
guess out. What? My girlfriend, if she had a choice between a gay cartoon character and me, would probably go on with me.
Or maybe Boo-Boo.
Hey, Boo-Boo.
Wait, or,
What?
What's in that picnic basket?
I remember, you know, Mage, wasn't that coming out about the same time as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That was kind of
they
part of that.
They were all sort of in that
yeah.
same...
83,
yeah,
84.
That area,
it was
yeah.
that real,
I was only
you know,
like
that
five or six,
push of,
so that's probably why I didn't read
you
the first
punk.
Time around.
Punk!
I'm young.
Get off my lawn.
I'm young.
Well, all right. We've got some interesting previews of some pulp comics.
He's pointing at me again.
He's pointing always at
well, oh, Zero Hour.
Yeah,
yeah, this is a webcomic, Zero Hour, that they're putting in print now.
Can I tell you one thing?
Sure.
They shouldn't name it Zero Hour if they want any mainstream
comics.
Oh, I saw that headline. I was like, wait a minute. I thought there was a trade of that.
Yeah, they're collecting Zero Hour.
Like,
but
God, don't lie. It's, and he's like, oh, boo.
Episodes from the Zero Hour, so I guess they're trying to work around it. I haven't read the webcomic. I heard it was good, but I haven't got it. But they're going to have a trade out for $12 or a $20 limited edition hardcover. It looks like sort of hardcore noir pulpy.
Any character stuff. Any character named Tommy Knuckles McNichols is probably
Knuckles McNichols.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Eric, didn't you date a guy named Knuckles, or was that Fisty?
Misty McFisty? No.
Action stage left.
Oh.
My mom could be listening. Come on.
Your mom listens to our show.
No, Fisto was my favorite Key-Man character, actually.
Fisto. Dude, him and
Well, anyone who would like to know more about traffic. Episodes from the Zero Hour can go to lulu.com/zero hour.
This cover looks awesome.
The cover looks it looks like a great old pulp novel. So, or you can go to aroundcomics.com and find the story.
Oldie times.
I love these. A tough guy for hire.
Yes.
I could use one of those.
By Jason Butkowski.
You know what the United Arab Emirates needs?
Marvel superheroes.
That's what they need. Yes. And
Captain America?
Oh, and it looks like they're going to get it. There is going to be a Marvel theme park coming to Dubai.
Shut.
This is one of those countries, though.
Bizarre.
This is one of those countries where I guarantee if you wanted a day with Captain America and you had enough money, it's a country where you can do whatever the fuck you want with enough money.
Right.
The more I hear about this place, I hear stuff on 2020, I hear it on other news programs, this place is like a crazy messed up, like, Michael Jackson house.
Yeah, that's the only that's cool with him living there.
The entire country is like Neverland.
Yeah. Michael Jackson and Prince got together and built a country.
Yeah, with oil.
They already had enough money. If you wanted to have like a hot oil wrestling match with someone dressed up as
midgets.
Wolverine, you would have been able to pull it off. You know.
So now they're just making a theme park.
You want that? I can get you that in an hour.
It looks like Marvel is really behind it.
Where's the DC Comics one though?
Yeah, where is the DC Comics one?
Why won't I want?
Well,
I want to go
what?
Running
like
with
DC
the Flash.
I would like DC to do a theme park instead of
Sorry,
a
guys.
Ride that breaks my neck when I it scares the crap out of me. I would like that, but I don't know.
Because you're so tall, were you afraid of riding the Superman?
It really hurt
because
me. I don't
you
fit
got
in
hurt.
It, so it crunched me.
But
and
you're
it
dangling.
Flips you up under like that, and I'm like, no! And I'm like, and, you know, I was getting 50 pounds heavier, then I'm like, what if I'm the one that makes this thing break and I fall out?
I had a friend who wore a fake air cast to Great America so he could get to the front of the line.
Oh, that's
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, it was nice.
What but a scumbag.
You know what, the bottom line
you
on
hang
this,
out with
though,
some scumbag.
Dirty, filthy
dirty.
Asshole.
I was thinking about this when I heard about
was
this
that Matt?
Week.
No,
and
it wasn't Matt.
You know, they built the thing in Universal Studios, mm-hmm. and I still haven't managed to go down to Orlando. There's no way in hell I'm going to Dubai.
Well, I don't think they built it for us, Mike.
Well, but who are they building
who
it for?
Who are these huge Marvel fans
yeah,
in the Arab world?
Who are they building it for?
Well, apparently, from the press release, Marvel is a brand that is recognized globally via its ever-expanding list of superhero characters. Now it won't be much longer until the children in Pan Arabia and the world can experience new and exciting rides with Marvel's Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, the Fantastic Four, and many other superheroes right here in the UAE. And they didn't mention Captain America.
Aren't the only people vacationing there, like, super rich?
Yeah.
You would think. So I don't think the
what
so it's not like this is
for
the
any,
masses.
I don't know
really
enough
rich,
about the country.
Your entire life is an amusement park.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can do whatever you want.
You think they'll have a gravity ride?
Yeah.
Crashes and burns.
It's a Cajun cliffhanger, but you're in between the thing and MODOK.
At the very end of the ride, they shoot you into space and kill you.
That's exactly it.
No, what it is.
Dwayne McDuffie's at the,
what
end,
it
of,
is,
at
is
the end of the ride saying, you're dead.
To get one whole entire ride, you have to sit through 75 smaller rides, and then at the end, it only goes 15 miles an hour, just like Civil War.
All right, moving on to some nice news here. The girls, fans of the Luna Brothers girls, that series is wrapping up. And as an added bonus to fans of that series, the last issue is going to be a double-sized 40-page issue. So
for the same price, $2.99.
Yeah,
Eric,
$2.99.
You were clapping your hands.
Yeah.
Do you like girls?
Be 48? Come on.
Be 44.
Oh.
He's making
it 22 pages. Whatever.
Whatever. They
double
owe me
D's.
At least two pages.
Well, you guys gave applause whenever I mentioned the girls,
applause?
And I know that I know that Sal has. Haven't you like? Do you like the girls?
I used to read it.
Okay.
Ooh.
And then ditched it.
Yeah, right. I ditched it because it's the same damn night, and it's 15 issues later, and Jesus.
Well, I was
gonna
say they're only this is issue
24,
and they're wrapping it up already, which.
Well, that was the
maybe they
wasn't
told
it
their story
to end faster than that, and they extended it.
Oh, was it?
Everyone, go to Wikipedia now.
I've
Crash
never,
Wikipedia.
I've never read Girls as a kid.
I've read the first two trades of it. I liked it. I thought it was a cool sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to pick up this last issue to see how it wraps up. I want to see what happened.
But you got bored with it
monster.
At some point, or
yeah,
just
I did.
Because it wasn't moving, it wasn't progressing.
It wasn't moving
very
fast enough. And in all honesty, the artwork, it's the same damn thing.
It does get a little static. Yeah. I mean, they do a very sort of thematic style with it. They're trying to, you know. But
Dr. Fate fans that have been looking forward to that new series.
You'd still be waiting.
You're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Do
for
we know
fate.
Why?
Galassi can't do it because he had a scheduling problem, so they gave it to Justiano. But they don't.
Well, that'll look nice.
But they want Justiano to do all of it, so they had to push it back.
Oh.
Bite
well,
it.
It makes sense.
Galassi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they didn't call in fill-in artist extraordinaire Mike Norton to just do a couple issues.
I don't think you think of Dark and Moody when you think of Mike
well,
Norton.
Well, it's going to be the Steve Grimm.
Until you meet you in person. You are very
I'll wait
could,
for it.
I could. I would love it. I love Dr. Fate. The helmet's kind of a
and
bitch
Steve
to draw. But
the waiting room was Dark and Moody.
Oh, I'll get you for that.
Sorry. The Waiting Place.
All 10 well,
Joanna
like
didn't like that book either.
No, did she give you a good review on that?
No, she didn't. She hated
I don't think
issue
she
4
likes
in particular. I remember that.
I don't think she
cut
likes
me to the quick with her review.
Yeah, she doesn't like many comics, I don't think.
Rarely. Nexus. We got
a
release.
Back.
Yes.
It's
Nexus.
In your face.
And his front, too.
Nexus number 99, Space Opera Part 1, is due out on July 11th. So get the free comic book day issue that's going to be kind of a recap of the Nexus universe.
The last 98 issues.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with Nexus, get the free comic book day issue and look forward to Nexus number 99 in July.
I'm looking forward to sort of seeing Steve Rude's art in comparison to where art is now. I think it's even going to stand out even more uniquely as far as this, anatomy. I think if it's looking back, because I have a bunch of Nexus issues, and reading it at the time, he was very unique in the fact that his, like, attention to anatomy and how, like, everything looked really, laid out properly. Mm-hmm. But even now, as art is sort of, in comic books, has gotten, I think, farther away from maybe anatomically correct,
that's
but not necessarily
definitely
negative.
Taken more of a retro sort of turn. He's exploring his Toth and Kirby roots.
Yeah, so I think it'll be
Have
cool
you seen
see.
Some of the previews, Mike?
No, I haven't seen any of this. I'm just talking about just recent stuff in general. I mean, you can tell that he's really starting to, like...
Well, I know his Moth stuff, he really went after
getting
Kirby.
Getting into the stuff that he loved.
Yeah. So I think it'll be cool
that's
to see
exciting,
it
though.
Next to
well,
everything
he,
else
he's
I'll
a
stand, so.
Phenomenal artist, so...
We talked to him.
We did.
Yeah. Ooh, well, name dropper.
Hey,
Steve Rude. Hey, we talked to Steve Rude a couple months
Stephen
ago.
X for you.
and also remember that Nexus Archives number 5 just came out. Is that right? From Dark Horse?
I believe so, yes.
So they've got five archive volumes, and I know you're a fan of them, Sal. I think they're worth every penny of that $49.
Yeah, if you haven't read Nexus before, I mean, the archives are a little pricey, but they're very nice. And
you also talked about trades of that eventually coming out.
Yeah, he mentioned that, and that would be great to have those in a cheaper format.
I mean, probably we'll see how the success of the relaunch
I would
was.
Love a huge hardcover of that.
Just like a
just
giant
I wouldn't have to hunt down all of them, because they've been reprinted in various different ways, and sometimes it's the same ones, and I'd love to just have an omnibus.
I would love
Well, it's 90,
of that first
you got 98 issues, plus though. You have 7 or 8 miniseries. Man,
I would love to
see
several volumes.
I would love to see oversized would be awesome with his art, especially the covers.
I would love to see a bunch of the first comic stuff.
Oh yeah,
put out like in a hard like
sure
you know Grimjack.
Well, they're supposed to be doing they had on Amazon. You can find the American Flag, Absolute Edition.
Well, yeah, there's been
but
a
it's
lot
been
of,
there for
no,
3 years
with Dynamite, I believe that they were going to be putting those out.
It?
I don't know what happened with all that. You know?
I would buy
well,
that.
The first
American
stuff
flag.
Has been like you right.
They're
going to
do that digitally. They're going to offer a lot of that online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's wasn't that a lot of the first comics are going to be online.
Well, from what's his name? The I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He was the publisher of First for a while, but he also did a lot of the books. Is it? Yeah, I think Michael. He's gonna. They're gonna release a bunch of his stuff.
Okay.
Is that where you got your first work at?
Not first. It was Image, but it was on Badger, which was a first comic.
Okay, that's right. Well, Tom, you'll be happy about this,
which is why I will always love Mike Norton because he started on Badger.
Yeah, your Badger love affair.
I know.
Well, Tom, they looks like DC is really pushing the Flash now. They're offering retailers incentives to buy the upcoming issues.
The last two issues were good. They didn't make me want to cry or like
choke
someone. You have been walking with a little bounce in your step.
The last issue was actually really good, but not. I think like in 2 issues it'll be fantastic. I think Mark Guggenheim knows how to write the Flash.
Are you dealing with the whole Bart thing now?
Oh, I never had. I never had a problem. I'm not. I realized this after.
Not a Bart hater.
I'm not a Bart hater. I never hated Bart. I hated reading a bad story written. It was just written badly. You know, it wasn't like it had nothing to do with that character. Because that character, I've liked Bart as a character, and I think he's been written well, but I just thought this was a bad story involving him. But it's a funny thing, I think this is an issue for another episode. But once you start having someone writing a character well, and then all of a sudden you see a split with the people that hate it, where they're like, I won't read anything with Bart ever. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, I don't mind Bart if someone writes it well, you know, and then all of a sudden you see that split from the people that,
Well, it always comes down to whether someone can write the character properly or not, so...
Yeah, and it makes sense, and I liked it, and I think, they lost a lot of readers from the launch. They lost over
half of their audience from the immediate launch.
Yeah, but you got to think a lot of those people will come back with a new writing.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Guggenheim.
Have you seen Tony's artwork for it?
I've seen like the covers. Yeah,
Tony Daniels. Isn't he a Chicago guy?
He is. He's in Evanston.
Is he going to be on the book regularly now?
That's he's going to be the regular artist because they haven't really had that either yet.
The thing that stuck out to me on this issue, and you mentioned it after you read the first issue, was that he wrote both those stories without trying to tell you who Bart was. You know, they were Flash stories. They weren't Bart is the Flash.
You
story,
got his
you know what
character
I mean?
Through the story.
Yeah, like, yeah, as opposed to trying to explain to everyone that now Bart's the Flash. And I mean, and that's what I didn't really pick up on the first one as much, but the second one I really did. That it wasn't anything to do with Bart Allen. It was a Flash story. It was all about, you know, while you, like you said, you got the character through the story, but it wasn't forced. It was just, you know.
I think he's got it. I think DC should let him write The Flash for a really long time because I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Hint, hint.
Eric, you had some on The Flash?
No, I was just going to say it's, you know, Tom's optimism that's his charm.
I'm optimistic.
And drunk.
And
what's this?
Hello!
Spoil for me. What's the choice that he was offered at the beginning?
Well, the first Guggenheim issue, Robin asks him to rejoin the Teen Titans, and he doesn't want to. He wants to join the Justice League, but realizes he isn't ready to join the Justice League. But that's his ultimate goal is to be.
We had some forum members upset with that idea that he was going to all of a sudden join.
David did. Yeah, David got mad like it was written like that, which is funny. Like he had just read an issue where that happened, and it was like it's coming out for
yet.
6 months.
Well,
I don't even know if that's what's going to happen.
I'm actually catching up on my Teen Titans reading. Yeah. I've kind of started at the beginning of the Johns Volume 3 series, and there's this storyline where they have to kind of like reassemble Titans from the past.
Avengers?
Yeah. And no, not the Avengers. And they've got, like, you know, Wally gets in contact with them and says, if you need anything, let me know because I'm always a Titan first. Yeah. And this is when he was in the JLA. So I think that's interesting because, you know, Wally always, you know, he grew up, you know, in the Titans and always considered himself a Titan. Mm-hmm. So, and I...
Well, it's... Johns is writing the Teen Titans now, right?
For
stop.
A couple more issues.
Adam Beecham.
And Adam Beecham's going to take over.
I mean, it just makes sense that because he, you know.
He's a big Flash man.
Well, he's just the history of the DC. Yeah. I mean, he always writes with that in mind, I mean, because he's such
That's
a fan.
True.
Of
we'll get to that top of the stack later.
Well, you know, it's which, you know, I'm starting to go back and rediscover some of these series. And Teen Titans, for anyone who hasn't read the Geoff Johns Teen Titans.
What are you on now? Because I just started reading. I'm trying to go back and read more of my corporate overlords. and because I mean, I know of DC stuff, but I'm not super, super familiar. So I'm trying to get into Teen Titans, some of the bigger group books. Trying to get into JSA. It's a little dense for me.
Sure. On Teen Titans, I have that one.
This is
my favorite story.
So that's good?
Too, yeah.
What story is that, Tom?
Future is Now.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's a great storyline. And it's $9.99 for a huge trade.
So I got it. I actually bought that a while ago when I was working on Teen Titans Go for reference of characters that I might be drawing. And I never read it. So is it accessible? Because I looked at it, I was like, this is like the whole...
All the Legion is in it.
No, but the thing is, that's the first time you've seen the Legion in a long time, too. So when you see those characters for the first time, that's the first time you've seen them in that incarnation.
Right.
So
okay.
It's whenever the Legion comes up,
don't worry about
it. Just kind of ignore them.
Don't ever look at the history because it will only confuse you. Don't ever look at
it. I started with issue one of the Johns run, and I'm up to the story after this where they have kind of a team up with the Outsiders with Nightwing.
Gotcha.
And I've liked every issue. A lot of the earlier arcs were just great Titans stories. Now the last time I read Teen Titans was Judas Contract.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it's it.
We'll talk about Geoff Johns
crap
later.
More trades I have
tipping,
to buy.
I'm tipping my hand.
I know.
My
I
top
feel
of
the same way.
Is.
I have a bookshelf full of trades that I have to read. That I have. I'm so behind.
I got to give you blankets too.
I have so many trades. I have
Actually, speaking of blankets, you want to jump ahead to the last story, and then we'll come back to this one. But blankets, and what was the other book that was taken out of
Fun
the...
Home.
Fun Home.
That was taken out Fun of the...
Marshall Public Library.
And now they are...
Returned.
Back on the shelves. Cool.
Is that, the, well, is that in Arkansas?
Missouri.
Missouri.
Well, that's... like I said on the forum, I think it's just great when... It's like a compromise, and everyone can be... happy with it.
Well, you know, and when this first, and we talked about it when this story first came out, was, you know, a lot of people were freaking out, and it was because the board, you know, initially agreed to take the books down, but they were going to go through a review process to see what they, you know, wanted to decide to do with it. And they eventually did, and they eventually came to, you know, what I think is the right decision of putting them back in there. But, you know, it's like, they had every right to do what they did. It's their library, and I talked about that before. It's, you know.
Well. And they did the right choice by putting it back in the library.
They did. Absolutely.
Fuck them. Well, I never taken them off.
Well, you know, and we got into this whole debate, and...
Let Eric speak.
Go,
Eric. Speak,
Eric.
Christ. Speak.
Speak.
Yeah, how the hell else are we going to recruit if it's not in the library?
There's nothing gay about blankets, though.
Want to bet? What's the thread count?
Blanket.
Egyptian cotton.
That was a good one.
Well, we talked about this story ad nauseum whenever it first happened, but I'm glad to see these two books
and
back
I fought
in
with everyone.
I'm actually it's interesting because we've had a lot some of our listeners that's comic book queers for all of you.
www.
Great podcast.
We've had a lot of our listeners tell us that we don't cover enough independent stuff, and Fun Home was one of the books that they kept talking about.
And we can't find it.
Yeah.
Like we've been to all these independent comic shops around Chicago, and I desperately want to read it because
they don't have it. Quimby's?
We
no.
went. That's exactly
that's
where
crazy.
The first place we went to was Quimby's, and she
really?
Said,
"Wow,
oh, we normally
it's
have that
too mainstream for Quimby's."
Actually, they have it in stock, but apparently they keep selling out of it, and then they said, "We'll call you when it gets in." And
you know how that
didn't.
Goes. Comic stores, they never call
you.
You guys know
indie guys, don't you? Can't you just like shine the Jeffrey Brown signal in the sky?
The JB signal. The JB signal.
I'll tell you where it is.
Well, who publishes Fun Home?
I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't read it. I've never
Top
even
Shelf
seen it.
Blankets, and I recently reread Blankets for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And as someone who grew up in a, not necessarily a Christian household, but I grew up in a Catholic household,
right.
There's a lot of resonance with
right.
growing up in a
Well, Tim grew up in the same town as Craig, and
yeah.
they were friends, and he said, yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know him that well when they were kids, and he was just like, I'm glad I didn't, because that sounds like a crappy childhood right there, you know?
Great book.
All right. We'll get
that. Sounds uplifting.
It is, though. No,
it really it is. It really is.
After you're done crying.
Yeah, I just get it all out.
There's been so many comic book movies that are going through casting right now. All the great news about Iron Man, I think that is just going to be one of the best casts that's put together for a movie.
Certainly one of the most high-profile casts for
When is
for
Billy
D.
Williams going to get a role?
My Colt 45.
Works every time.
Works every time.
Smooth.
Well, we have another movie and another casting decision that I don't know how I feel about it right now.
Well, she's perfect.
You think so?
Well, she's the ultimate femme fatale. I mean, that's what Fox was. She was...
Of course, we're talking about Angelina Jolie has
Mrs.
been casted as Fox.
Well,
has been casted as Fox for Mark Millar's
Hank,
Wanted.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Don't read Wanted. Read the first five. Don't read the last issue.
Have you guys all read Wanted?
No.
Mark Millar's book from Top Cow? It's
I mean, I don't. It seemed like one of those kind of. I don't really like. Extreme like
violent
movies and
okay,
well, not
then
that
don't
I'm
read
a pansy
it.
Or anything, you know.
I
don't get sick of the sight of blood, you know.
Yeah, I mean this is gonna shoving gun barrels through people's faces and it's
no, I know what he means though, because like there was a book I read, Barracuda, the Garth Ennis Punisher Barracuda, and it is like so over the top, ridiculously violent and grotesque and just, I mean it's. And while part of me enjoys reading it just for, like, sort of the bizarreness of it, another part of me is, like, almost feels guilty for reading it. Like, I really shouldn't enjoy something
blankets.
So... Yeah, I should.
It's all about guilt.
With some chamomile tea and... No. But, yeah, Wanted is certainly... I mean, that's Mark Millar at his, Miller at his most over the top.
But Fox was Halle Berry.
But is it good?
Halle Berry sucks. You
know, the first five.
I don't
want to
see her in anything.
I was just gonna say, wasn't
I'll
she?
I'll tell you about
I,
the six.
I've never read the book, but I saw the covers. Wasn't she black?
Yeah.
So are they gonna paint up Angelina?
Well,
yes.
You know what?
Just give her a dark tan.
Kingpin's white in the comics. He wasn't in the movie. Why are you going to be? You know?
But that what are you trying to get at?
I'm just saying,
are you racist?
No,
you're
I'm
racist.
Not.
Is that it?
Well,
man.
You finally
you know
found
what?
Me out.
That sucks.
Any
man.
White character, any
I
white character
white
in a comic book can become black.
That's what I thought.
But don't you dare change a black character to a white character. Ever.
Okay.
Mike is like noted.
Mike's like, I draw Asian characters.
I draw
okay.
an Asian Adam. How do you feel about that?
You know, how? I mean, you're on a book now with the all new Adam. That and I've gone to.
I'm interested to what? See what this question is.
Yeah, me too.
On a lot of forums, especially you know at like the DC forums, people are really upset that the DC
forums are pissed about
everything.
This book was stapled wrong. This is horrible.
But so you know, I mean, there's a lot of discussion out there about DC's replacement characters and their move to include more minority characters. I mean, you're writing one of those books that is a replacement character, and it's not a wasp.
Yeah, he's not
character.
Writing anything.
Right. Or I mean, drawing. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
So what's the question?
There was none.
Where do you get your reference for Asian people?
I've met a couple. I've met a couple.
No, but for drawing Ryan Choi.
I'm continuing.
I mean,
no, go ahead.
If you would let me,
we just get sidetracked with laughter. Is all.
No, I mean. For the all-new Adam, are you glad that it's a new character that you can kind of put your stamp on?
I am. I've had this discussion before, and usually the
not with me, pal.
The discussions they usually don't make a point of him, whether or not this new character is Asian or Hispanic or so and so. It's just that there's somebody else other than Ray Palmer or somebody else. Other than Ted Kord or somebody else other than Hal Jordan.
Well, one of those people about the Blue Beetle, that's you. You're screaming that it's not Ted Kord.
Well,
no, I'm joking.
I was at first, but I wasn't one of those people that was going to say, I'm not buying the book because it's not Ted, because I bought them all. I mean, I still buy the book.
Is it really the Blue Beetle?
Yeah. So but DC tends to do a pretty good job that when they do put a new person in the suit, they do... make it a pretty unique character to the point. I mean, who I thought Kyle was going to go away when he first showed up. It's like, what the hell? And now he's been around for how long?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that I think that's great about those sort of legacy characters is also the fact that, you know, when I think of Wally West as the Flash, I don't think of him as the Flash first. I think of him as Wally West first.
Irish
just like
Flash. Oh no,
that,
sorry.
Just like Hal Jordan, when I think of him as Green Lantern. There's so many Green Lanterns, but I think of Hal Jordan Green Lantern.
Right,
you know,
right.
I think of that specific.
They do a
character.
Good job of doing that. Well, so I think that's one way you should do it. I mean, rather than saying, "Oh, it's the Asian Adam."
Yeah.
You know, if you want
the original title.
There was a great
the all new Asian Adam.
there was a great JSA moment this week with Wildcat when Wildcat's talking with his son.
There's a lot of Green Lanterns.
Oh yeah.
I'm not calling myself Tomcat. Yeah, all right, Mike. One other question. Where the fuck is Ray Palmer? That's all I want to know.
You'll find out.
Yeah, okay.
You'll find out this summer.
Do you know?
I actually don't, but I know there's some weird crap going on.
No, I look forward to it. I like the weird shit.
Excellent.
All right, so Angelina Jolie, yay, nay, Fox, yes.
I'd do her in a second.
I'd give her a pearl necklace.
I think she works for the character, whether
you'd
black,
you'd almost
white.
Have to, wouldn't you?
What?
What?
I'm just moving the show along. You can answer yes or no.
Where, I have no idea.
Maybe.
Wait.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what. That will
that will
wrap. Hit
from the Bay City Rollers.
That will wrap up one of the most bizarre Wired Wire comic news that we've had in quite a while. So.
And then we shall exit stage left.
Indubitably.
Stage left.
That's the winner. End it.
Sal, tell us about shopping at Around Comics.
Shopping.
Don't bother. There's nothing there you want. No, shop at Around Comics.
There's cheap places. Don't go there.
We have hats on sale this week.
We have hats and thongs.
Thongs, yeah.
Did you start that last week?
We have this Cafe Press store you can buy a shirt. We've had one person buy a shirt.
That's awesome.
And that's why we didn't bring any shirts to New York. We were going to print up shirts. It's like, well, obviously nobody wants one, so why should we print out a bunch of shirts that nobody's going to buy and just...
I bought that shirt.
Wait.
Other than you, you bought one, but no, one other
idea.
Person.
I have an idea.
Somebody from England, some woman from England.
We will call it the Shroud of Around Comics. And what the t-shirt will have, there will be three different varieties where you'll see our faces imprinted on it as if it was the Shroud of Turin.
The Shroud of Around Comics. There you go. And I'm going to prove it false.
I'm taking it down. We don't need a Cafe Press store.
Sal, the hotline.
Obviously, no one gets 1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Give us a voicemail.
Just like this. Wait, we didn't have one this week. Oh, okay.
Shut up.
Well, we need some hotlines, so...
You know why? Because we want...
Thanks, you guys are awesome.
Hey, you guys suck. It's the worst show I've ever heard. Why don't you talk more about whatever books I like?
Well, yeah, we will.
What books do you like?
I left enough space on my message to tell you I like stuff from 10 years ago. I like everything that Rob Liefeld did. Why haven't you done an Onslaught spotlight?
I like that he left space in his message.
Yeah, for us to answer. Yeah, that's.
I know Mike Norton's there.
On our show, it's like your opinions hurt Tranny. That's what we get.
Really?
I don't care about transsexuals. I just want to hear about Onslaught.
Thank you for your message.
Onslaught's back, so you should be happy. There you go.
I am.
All right.
Wow. This is some badass phone message service.
Was that Sylvia Brown calling in?
No.
It is time for Top of the Stack.
I got one for this week, too.
Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters.
Oh, wait. Before you go, I want to do one thing.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, listen.
Top of the Stack.
Wow, that was good.
Wow.
I'm not going to have to drop in the real one.
He's like a human beatbox. He's like a beatbox.
I do that fucking thing every time I listen to you guys at work. I do that at work. Top.
I kind of do that too.
Everyone's doing it constantly.
That's a new hit single.
So, Eric, what's your top of the... Oh, I didn't do mine. My top of the stack this week is Justice Society of America number 4. And I struggled this week because there were several contenders. It was a toss-up between this, X-Factor, and Walking Dead. And I almost didn't want to pick Justice Society of America because it was the least dark one. And then I thought the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't know why I should be expected to pick something dark and disturbing, because this book to me is like the perfect self-acknowledging comic book of like heroes fighting villains. You have a Nazi being crushed by the Liberty Bell. I mean, it's not supposed to be subtle. It's not supposed to be like different layers of stuff going on. You have these characters who are interesting, and those characters are interesting, but they're fighting Nazis, so that's not supposed to be subtle at all. And I think there's you get to see a little bit of each character in the first 4 issues total, not just this issue, but you get to see a little bit of all of them. You get to see Cyclone, who I think is going to end up being a single white female sort of stalker of Stargirl, and I think that's what's setting this up, is that it's getting a little bit creepy how much she likes that, you know, this other character in the book. You get to see Wildcat with a son, which is fantastic, because Wildcat's like the ultimate bachelor boxer. He wears a fucking cat suit and has like bandages on his hands. He's like the ultimate tough guy. It's just...
I wouldn't say that's the ultimate tough guy.
Hey, listen.
He walks around and he can kick your ass.
Yes, bandages. Your ass.
Bandages are for pussies. All
right. It's only to save you from getting your blood on his fists. But to me, it was just...
The cyclone
thing
was a little...
If he dips those in glass
disturbing.
And resin, then we'll talk. But.
I think it was supposed to be disturbing.
Oh, yeah. It was like... I always thought that Stargirl was cool. Now I think that
she's even
cooler.
mean, she's bipolar, so yeah. Wait till the one where
she's young. What do you mean you want to hang
young.
Out with Stripe? I mean, isn't, how old is Cyclone supposed to be?
Like, 19 or something?
Yeah, not even that old.
She's in college, but she's also acknowledged to be bipolar, so wait for the issue where she's
so?
Not.
So? Bipolar is not, like...
He's setting it up.
Crazy,
no
is
way,
it?
No, he's about to take our meds, we're good.
Oh. Well, bipolar and by something else. If this is...
Bubba-sexual.
Boba?
That's what I'm saying.
Boba-sexual. But, I don't know. I felt like guilty picking it, but I shouldn't because I really like
it
the most.
You make an interesting point about how it's sort of unabashed in what it is. It's not like an Alan Moore superhero comic where it has to be this subtle examination of why these characters do what they do. Yet at the same time, it really has...
That's good character.
Yeah, the characters themselves are interesting, and you know the storytelling really shows that without having to rely on some sort of postmodern look at it. You know what I mean? It is what it is. A good superhero book, but it's not just that. There's more to it than just that. So.
Well, I mean, I think like even the scene where Wildcat has sort of his soliloquy about what the Justice Society is. I mean, it's corny. Everyone knows what it is, but like if you love superhero comic books, it's hard to deny when you read his description of it that you don't get like a little tiny bit of you that's like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, like it's hard
let's
to deny that.
Cats.
Yeah. You know, like it's a hard if you're a superhero fan not to read his description of how he describes the Justice Society and not be like, yeah, that's awesome. You know,
it's switching this from the whole first arc has been about family and how the JSA is family. And Wildcat kind of stops it. It's like, it's not about family. It's about the spirit of who these people
Someone
are.
Someone will always pick up the mask and wear it.
I thought that was a great sequence.
It was a great moment. Yeah. It was a great moment. Eric, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack this week is Welcome to Tranquility. I just picked it up, got all four issues, so...
Slow
I just got slow claps. Right.
Tom's been doing that a lot lately.
I hadn't read any of it, and it was great to sit down and read all four issues at once. This is the series that I wanted that sci-fi show, sci-fi channel show, Eureka, to be.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh,
yeah, it's like you've got this small town, you've got this cast of really interesting characters, and you're just slowly peeling away how they know each other, what their relationships are, what their history is. I love you, Gail Simone. I so want to be her housewife.
We met Gail.
Lucky.
And her husband, Jerry Ordway.
Yeah, listen to our New York Comic Con show for that inside joke.
That's a great... It is a great series so far. It's been just so much fun, and, you know, once again, it's it's not afraid of what it is, and it just, while it's sort of a quirky look at this retirement community, you know, there's a great mystery involved in it, there's, you know, a lot of fun, there's some more sinister stuff that's going on. I mean, it's just this great combination of different things that are happening in the book, and the art's fantastic, and yeah, Gail can't do anything wrong right now. She's just firing on all cylinders, and it seems like everything she does is just better and better.
Have we seen this concept before? I mean, that's one of the things I liked about Welcome Tranquility is the fact that it's this retirement community for superheroes, supervillains as well.
I think you've seen things closer, but not the same sensibility.
Yeah.
Where I think you have, I think what she's done is she's balanced sort of the more maudlin, you know, like the more like sentimental feelings with humor a lot better than I think you've seen people do that in the past.
I think before it's almost been. People haven't been able to pull it off because it's always sort of turned into either a joke or
wasn't
sort of
it
tragic.
Always better in the old days?
Yeah, you know
thing?
What I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, they just haven't been able to pull it off as well as she has, where it is a good combination of things where you're not...
Well,
stopping.
I mean, that's Gail in general in all of her books, is that she walks that fine line between it has these great moments of humor, but there's a lot of very smart, intelligent writing there that makes it a story that, you know, is beyond a humor book.
Yeah,
and that's,
I have to definitely agree with that.
Well, Mike is working on one of those.
Well,
right
yeah,
now.
I mean, that's one of the things I think, if I were to point out the thing that I love the most about her work is, I mean, somebody asked me actually what I would love to do at DC the other day, and I was like, I had to think about it, and I was just like, well, my favorite kind of stories are the kind of stories that she's writing for the Atom right now. It's just like, it's action, it's adventure, it's funny, and it's weird.
Quirky. Yeah, safe travels or death.
Yeah,
exactly. I love the head.
The same, yeah. It's the sort of stuff I
who
loved about.
Head?
Yeah, I love that stuff in Firefly and Buffy. It's just like, this is an action show. No, it's a comedy show. No, it's a science fiction show. No, it's all of it. So yeah. And people that can do all of that in one thing, they're very rare, and I think that's really pretty awesome.
That is.
Yeah, and Gail's got a great handle on it too. She's done.
Well, Mr. Norton.
Did you hear that, Gail? We love your writing. And you too,
Cherry Ordway.
Well, Mike, we know that you've been super busy working on one of those great Gail Simone books, but have you been reading anything lately?
I have nothing like recent. I wasn't able to make it to the shop because my car was stolen, but I. I recently bought all the losers trades, and I read them all this week.
My turn for the slow clap.
Yeah, I was really amazed by that book, and not because it's...
Are we in a bad 80s, like, high school movie? What the hell is with all the slow claps?
I agree with you, Sal. I agree with you.
It's not like it's some mind-blowing new way of telling a story, but it is such a great... as somebody described it to me as like a hip and modern like A team, mm-hmm. And I agree with it to the point where I almost say it's like it's the A team without any of the stupid stuff. It really is.
Well, that's just our A team. Well, what's left?
Look now, you're not gonna find anybody who loves the A team more than me. But I gotta admit,
you mean the credit?
Billy the Invisible Dog's a little stupid.
Yet funny.
Pity the fool. I read all five of the trades, and each one, you know, it's just the very, you know, complex, you know, layers of, you know, I couldn't think of. I kept reading it, thinking, if I had to write this story, I have to keep track of this and this and this. And I was like, how? Wow, that's crazy. But then there's like kablooey jumping out of a window and stuff like that. It's like this is like. It's like a big dumb Michael Bay movie, except it's not dumb.
Yeah,
it's not Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's big action. It's widescreen, but there is very very smart storytelling.
Yeah, and it's smart.
Andy Diggle wrote a hell of a story.
Yeah, it's smart, but he's not going for the blow your mind kind of thing. Like there's a couple of twists and turns. And
it's not Grant Morrison.
Yeah, there's some twists and turns, like especially at the end. And this is an old book, so I don't think I feel okay if I spoil stuff, but I mean,
spoil
when
away,
you find
DC
out about
exclusive.
The shut up.
Shut your mouth.
When you find out about the main bad guy, and so it's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. But at the same time, I'm not like, whoa! For 5 years, I would have never thought that was coming. And but I mean, the leader of the team gets killed first. I was like, wow, what? That was pretty crazy. You know, I love that, and right on
unexpected moments as opposed to like shocking.
Yeah, it's like those things where he knew that was going to happen, and that we didn't do that to just go woo, and you know.
Right.
And I can't believe the seat of the van was the villain.
Yeah. the flotation cushion.
Damn you.
No, it's just a very smart
very
action
smart
adventure military.
I remember when I was still working with Devil's Due. And right around the time I was leaving, Crank and I believe Sean Duff were saying, yeah, Andy Diggle would be awesome to write G.I. Joe. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great, but Hasbro would never approve that, you know, because he's going to want to do, like, real-world stuff.
He's going to want Snake Eyes stabbing someone in the eye.
Well, he did write G.I. Joe. He just called it The Losers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a real good point, because you had these characters, and they were kind of like Cougar being this, you know, he was lowlight. You know?
Yeah.
He's like this real creepy guy, but he has a sense of humor. And
where was that? I'm trying to think of the most obscure G.I. Joe character.
No, who was B. Clay Moore's
Dog
idea?
Snuff.
Dog Snuff, yes.
Dog Snuff. Where he assesses the mission, finds the perfect breed of dog, and then sends him in to get killed. Dog Snuff.
dog snow.
Have you ever heard that episode of the Crankcast?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, go back to the Crankcast where they talk with Claymore.
It was like, that
his creation?
Well, yeah,
he didn't use it, but it was something he thought about.
Well, you guys were talking about like Battle Hymn, which was a reimagining of the Invaders, yeah. And he was talking about doing, you know, his on the spot idea of doing a reimagination of G.I. Joe.
Was this before he ended up writing a G.I. Joe issue? Because I don't even remember that.
Did Clay do?
Yeah,
G.I.
he did.
Joe?
Him and Jeremy did Special Missions Manhattan.
Really? Is there a dog snuff character?
No, there's no dog snuff because
dog snuff. Get the dog.
What are we going to do? This one needs a Pekingese.
Yeah, this Pekingese would be perfect for this.
This one's one.
I don't know where we'll put the plastic explosive.
I need a dog to put inside of a purse.
Exactly. Scarlet walking in.
It's a small air shaft. We need to
must die.
Must die.
It's loaded with C4.
Well, that's a great top of the stack. I approve. That's a great series.
What do you mean? Because Eric and I did one, and you didn't end it with the Chris agrees.
I approve of that selection.
I approve of Mike. Yes, it is. Chris.
Well, I
boom, 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 boom.
I'm going to swing on record and saying I disapprove of your selection, but we'll get to that.
Witness my validation.
Witness what happens when I'm right,
Mr. D.
Oh, if you want to know what my top of the stack is, you'll have to listen to my podcast.
Snap! What is that?
www.comicbookqueers.podomatic.com.
Oh, goddamn!
That will be edited out.
Oh, no one's ever done that!
It'll just be a large
first
beep.
First time.
We're going to...
No, actually, it's...
I'm recording his top of the stack myself later.
You should cut us all screaming out and then just put in, like, Showtime at the Apollo.
Damn!
I did come prepared to talk about something, though.
All right.
The book that I really want to talk about, I'm talking about on my show. The secondary book that I'm going to talk about, though, Walking Dead.
This is a salesman.
My almost top of the stack.
That's why you got pregnant.
That's
why your mama got pregnant, because I talked to her first.
Oh, damn. Salesman.
I couldn't work it out. So it
my mom got pregnant because they planned it. Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. That was my pick.
It's been in a while.
Issue number 36.
No, don't tell me about it.
Is that what you got there?
Oh, dude, you're like in what, issue 8?
No, I love this one.
I guess you're 12.
No.
Good lord.
You, dude. Go to the bathroom for a minute.
Close your ears. Earmuffs.
Spoilers away because I think that might go away.
Go to the corner.
Go in the corner, Mike.
We'll beckon you when you're right to return.
And I want to
step
on your top of the. I think that we saw, Rick has
wouldn't
been,
be the first time he stepped on a guest.
But I'm pumped.
We've been seeing Rick has been close to breaking and actually to a breaking point several times in the book. And I think that we saw kind of a resolution of this where he finally comes to grips that he is not the same person that he was at the beginning of the series.
I love that speech where he's talking to his wife and where he explains to her about how. It's like, I can kill anybody now. I look around and I keep thinking to myself, who do I need here? Like, I know, for example, Tom's the first to go. I'm just kidding.
Good luck, asshole.
I love the fact that Rick is just badass.
Yeah.
He is, all the shit he's gone through, and he actually still can think cognitively.
But also, the fact that when he does what he does, when he hits the guy. Well, are we spoilers?
Spoiling Walking Dead.
Yeah,
whatever.
We're spoiling it.
Fuck
them,
guys. Yeah, when he does what he does.
Yeah, they're not your listeners. What the fuck do you care?
when he does what he does, he isn't necessarily right. You know, he like because you can see it reverse the other way. If you saw it reverse the other way.
It's hard to determine what's right or wrong
that,
in that book. Considering
the character that he kills was, in a lot of ways, the Rick from the other camp.
He was the guy
that was looking out for his group of people that saw an opportunity to bring them to safety, and you can easily reverse those
then
roles.
Then you see, because Rick...
Rick would have been a little more stand-up about it.
No, here's the thing, though. He wouldn't be, because he admits later in the issue, if... Pretty much, like, if you had those roles reversed, Rick would have done, I think, the same thing. I think that's what that whole issue is about, is that he kills that guy and goes back and thinks, well, I'll kill anyone, which is pretty much where that guy was. He'll do whatever it takes
he
for his
exactly.
people.
Rick would have done the same thing if the situations were reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, because that guy was like, why you? Why are you the lucky one that gets to be here? Why not, why
I found
you
it.
Yeah.
That's why? Fuck. Anyway, one of the interesting things I found about that issue was sort of how the fact that everyone still relies on Rick so much, it gives him a pass to do these things. I mean, no one is ever going to look down on him for what he does. He can pretty much do, and I think that leads to, I think he realizes that, and it leads to sort of the conflict that he's, you know, facing, and his him talking
he
to his wife
cut
about
anyone loose.
He can do anything because everyone just leans on him, and he has to make these decisions. He's really the only one that's forced to. But I think that it sort of sets up an environment for him that is worse and worse. You know what I mean? It's just like, when does it end?
I keep feeling like this character is going to explode at some point. And, you know, there were a couple times I thought he had already done so.
Yeah, yeah.
Does this book survive beyond Rick? If something were to happen to Rick, he wasn't the main character?
Kirkman has always said yes, that
any character,
no one is safe, that even Rick could die, and this book will go on. That's what Kirkman said.
No, certainly, and of course he's going to say that, but it's so much of his book. I mean, it's turned into so much.
It's Rick's story.
I mean, it started out with him, and it's followed him the whole way through, where other people come in and out. But
any reader who's read up to, let's say you get to an issue 50, and let's say he kills Rick in issue 50, would any reader
stop
reading it? Because I think it's a different breed of
reader. No, I just think it's a different book at that point. I think then it's just a matter of how he's going to do it and what he plans on doing if he does decide to kill
Rick. But I think
it's
true. I think at some point he could kill Rick. I think he could put Rick in a situation where Rick dies.
You know, he's created that situation where anyone in that book can die.
It would be the best character to kill, honestly, because everyone's already invested so much in this character.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be the one that would really throw a wrench in there. Yeah. But he would have to have planned out the direction the book is going to go afterwards, and it'd have to be something completely different.
Can we let Norton out of the penalty box?
Yeah, I think that's
Norton, you're out of the penalty box.
Mike, you're out of the penalty box. It's okay.
Chris, why don't you talk about your comic book?
Yeah, what did you read this week?
Yeah,
what's your favorite comic book?
Yeah.
I read a lot of things. My favorite
because, you know, there's a lot of hard work put in by guys like Mike Norton into comic books. They spend a lot of time drawing and writing and doing that to try and make a living at comic books.
People that deliver
and
them.
And this show is supposed to talk about comic books, so I'm wondering, what comic book
did you pick?
My top of the
Your
stack...
Your comic book looks tiny.
...is a DVD.
Circular. Is that a digest?
No, it's cartoon.
This isn't a cartoon about comic. It's Heaven's Gate on DVD.
My pick is Justice League Unlimited
Season 2. My kids will love that.
It is awesome.
Sorry.
It is good, actually.
I have two sort. I'm an old school Marvel fan that is discovering the DC universe for the first time in my life here the last year. I mean, I always read, you know, Batman, you know, occasionally would pick up, you know, a DC title here and there. I never really got into a lot of, you know, the great history of the DCU. I have two sources that have taught me so much. First is Tom.
Yeah, I always answer any DC Universe questions.
Yes, because you are
right or wrong.
You know.
I've guessed them most of the time.
The second source I've had is Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, and then, you know,
you wouldn't like want to read the comics and get that done.
Well, you know, I don't want to call it like a Cliff Notes guide to the basics of the DCU, but it is, first, it's uber entertaining. I love the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want to know about The Question or Red Tornado or, you know, the basic jail, if you want to know about the basic JLA characters, you know, the Trinity plus, you know, Martian Manhunter, whatever. It's a great introduction to those. But what Justice League Unlimited did, it kind of took that a step farther. And if you want to know about Huntress or, you know, Question or Supergirl or Stripe,
they have a Booster Gold episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a good episode,
too. And it has Elastic Man, which is great.
Yeah, you know, so it was a way for me to at least get to know who these characters were and get some general characterizations. It's not in continuity with what's going on in the DCU, but it does give you a great general feel. Season 2 came out this past week. Enjoy it. A quick side note for a comic that I did like. I just want to...
First you pick a fucking DVD,
Want to remind everyone, I'm not going to talk about it. The Damned wrapped up this week, so go out and pick up the issue 5 of The Damned. Sal, Your top of the stack.
I picked Army at Love, number one, yeah, Vertigo book by Rick Veitch, who wrote it and penciled it, and inks by Gary Erskine, which so I thought was an interesting combination.
Lots of tits.
Changing my mind about a couple.
I thought it was an interesting concept. Basically, Rick Veitch took a look at the illegal war in Iraq, I guess, and sort of.
There's another one happening over there?
No, he created a new one in a country called Afghanistan.
Afghanistan,
something like that. But anyway, sort of the concept of it is. What if this war raged on for another 10, 15 years and you were having a hard time recruiting new people to fight it because the country didn't really believe in it so much anymore? What would you have to offer people
beaver.
In order to... yeah, pretty much.
Beaver. Pretty much, yeah.
Beaver!
Yeah, pretty much it's... the army is a bunch of people that are, like, you know, jacked up on adrenaline.
Thrill-seekers.
Yeah, thrill-seekers that... want to make a lot of cash real easily, and while they're not
fun
fighting,
boys.
They fuck their brains out and party and do drugs and
shoot people.
A lot of stuff what happens in the army now. It's a really sort of ridiculous
military.
Look at, you know, kind of what if, you know, would happen in a war, but... I don't know, but it was interesting. It was very graphic.
Charlie
it was
Rose has got a lot of questions. So,
you know, I mean, Rick Veitch does this in a lot of his books. He'll take a concept, he'll turn it upside down and put it on its head. You saw that with Brat Pack. You know,
I love Brat Pack.
He does these trippy kind of. Mm-hmm. I think he made a comic out of your Snagglepuss
dream.
Yeah, probably, if he has any, will now. Great.
It's
thanks.
Called Snagglepussy.
This comic's probably
joke. I'm surprised we didn't make it.
This comic's probably not for everyone. It's
probably.
Yeah.
Hank, you can't
it's
read
a very
it.
Well, yeah, it's a mature book, certainly.
Hank just rang his hands in anger.
And I'd be interested to see kind of where it goes. I don't know exactly how much character development you're going to see in it. I mean, it shows really sort of the worst side of people. And
is there nakedness in it?
There's yes. lots of nakedness and I'm sex there. And... adultery and
I don't do it
cash. A lot of cash. Everyone seems to have a lot of cash.
Adultery.
Sorry.
I got morals.
but it was really an interesting. Like I said, it was more than anything. It was an interesting concept, and I'm really interested to see where it goes. And Rick Veitch is just such a whack out kind of dude.
Yeah.
That it's worth
he
checking
looks
out.
So normal.
I know, that was freaked me out when I met him in New York.
They
I was like,
do.
I thought he was going to be
just
on stilts with knives.
Yeah, I thought of his clowns story. Running around him and
so normal.
You know, it was yeah. And we're probably going to talk to him soon. I think
who's
we're going to
the artist on this?
He is. Gary Erskine did the inks, but
I
he drew
he was
it.
Just writing.
No,
now.
He wrote and drew it.
Now, okay, that looks really familiar. I was looking at it, I was like, where's that book?
Oh, now Hank's going over to grab it.
Hank, you cannot buy that book. But it is.
Pick up Justice League Unlimited, Hank.
Yeah, you might. There's a lot of weird things in Rick Veitch's head, and he puts a lot of them in this book. So there you go. That's my top of the stack.
Yeah, yeah. It's irreverent. I enjoyed it, but I'm still.
That's
sure he's still
it's
out.
A it's a ridiculous look at sort of a ridiculous situation.
Oh,
yeah,
you know,
it
an
is.
Even more ridiculous look at a ridiculous situation.
Yeah, he makes
and
it.
And there's a little something for everybody there.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's
everyone,
it's all in there.
Anyone can rub it out to this one.
Well, that was I read that, and then I read. Punisher Presents Barracuda back to back, and I just felt dirty when I was done reading. I was just like, I need a shower, and pray or something. I don't even pray.
I watched an entire DVD of Oz. Same thing.
Yeah, it's filthy.
It's hard to get clean. Hard.
It really is.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That shows.
It's
good man,
have you guys?
That's the greatest deterrent for like breaking the law I think ever is watching that show, because the last fucking place I want to end up after watching that show is prison.
I want to remind everyone to help us spread the Around Comics love. You can do that a few different ways. You can go to aroundcomics.com and take us up on our listener LCS challenge. You can also go to comicspace.com/aroundcomics and be our virtual friend. You can do that at myspace.com/aroundcomics as well.
It's pretty much better than the real thing.
It, being a virtual friend?
Being a virtual friend, yeah.
Like
so are
being
you
a
virtual
friend.
Or a real friend, Stevie?
Oh, wow.
I'm your virtual friend.
I like
virtual friends. You don't have to pick up at the airport.
I like surfing on the internet.
Jesus.
You can do my personal favorite, which is the iTunes music review.
Get into it.
Be as cool as Andy Parks, Mike Norton, Steve Bryant, and about.
I can't be as cool as Steve Bryant.
What about Andy?
Andy, I don't care about him.
You surpassed Andy?
How cool Andy.
You're already cool. You feel you're already cooler than him.
Headbutt me.
He is. Andy's going to rub that bald little head right up in your face. All right.
What?
Whoa.
See this here?
Dude, stop the episode. Stop the episode.
Why?
It's got weird.
Remember...
It got weird.
It's been weird for a long time. You can join our Frapper map. Do we have any new Frappers?
No.
There was like one... But I didn't even bother. I was going to wait.
I didn't bother.
Thank you, whoever you
are. Yeah, we'll get to it.
We'll get to you next week.
We'll get to you eventually.
That wasn't you, Hank. You weren't on there.
Thank you for being on Frapper.
You can check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews,
and
opinions. We are now proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at ComicsPodcast.com. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays or thereabout at AroundComics.com. We've got some great guests coming up. I believe Rich Starkings, the aforementioned...
Taxis and turns you into like another person.
I know, he's hulking out over here.
He's like...
Tom is like...
feces?
Berating people, slapping...
Spitting beer.
Eric. I have two pairs of pants on, but no shirt or underwear. Figure that out, people. Got running pants underneath a pair of khakis.
Check out our calendar of events coming up. We've got some great guests, Richard Starkings, Rick Veach, lots of other people that start with R, apparently.
Gene Simmons, or not.
Or not.
Roger Moore.
It's not looking
Ruth
so.
Ruth Buzzy?
Ruth Buzzy.
Awesome. End the episode now. We won't do anything better than the Ruth Buzzy.
I'd like to thank our sponsor today, Borders.
Thank you.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work.
Now they deserve slow clap.
Yes, they do.
There's one of us that looks like Gorbachev who stands up.
It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people that have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. As Brian Michael Bendis said, give until it hurts.
When did he say
Whoa,
that?
Wait, what?
That's one of his quotes.
That's what he said that in reference to?
Yes.
I read that completely differently.
Mike Norton said give because I'm going to be old and retired someday.
No.
So
Mike Norton said give because I'll hurt you.
I'd like to thank everyone for being here today. Eric and Steve from Comic Book Queers, what do you have coming up here pretty soon?
Pretty soon,
pretty
we've
soon.
Got...
New?
A our the end of our second season, episode 30, is going to be a video podcast that's our award ceremony.
Whoa.
And I recommend you check that out. Full of surprises.
I hope the music doesn't cut off anybody during mid-speech.
Thank you. I like
everyone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Everyone. It does. It doesn't matter how long.
1 second into the speech.
Right? Here's a shot in the dark. Crank, what do you have? Or Crank. Mike, what do you have
Crank,
coming up? What do you have coming up on the Crankcast?
Things.
I don't know.
Whatever.
My favorite one was on your forum this past week for your last episode. It said, don't listen to this one. Seriously.
Here's the thing about your show, though. When Jenny is on the show, why does she have to talk like this?
I don't know.
She's whispering. Like she's. She always.
She always
talks.
She
always talks like
this. I seriously think she was scared that day when she was in there.
She always talks like this.
She
talks so quiet. I feel like she's talking. I feel like she's like this far away from the microphone.
She
and then
does.
When you talk, you're like, hey! Oh, hey! And then Crank's somewhere in between.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, next issue of the all-new Adam that you're on, issue 12?
Issue 12 starts my regular run that starts in June. That is the start of the search for Ray Palmer and the whole countdown tie-in stuff. So.
I hope they find him dead.
Fantastic.
And some crazy stuff.
They get to the end and he's just dead. Oh, man, he starved
to
death.
Well,
I'll
put it to you this way. I'm reading the scripts and drawing them, and even I'm going... What the hell is this?
You know what I've always loved about Adam? Shrinks right out of his clothes every time. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
What a Bible 3?
2?
When's Little Bible 2 coming out?
Ask Tim.
Okay, anything else on the Mike Norton docket?
There are still 2 issues of Teen Titans Go that I did last year that are still yet to come out. So okay.
There's a pug, I hear.
There's a pug. No.
There's a dog being grown.
Yeah, that is Ninja going to show up in Adam?
No. Can't do that.
Oh,
there's already a dog.
That's right. There already is a dog.
Retcon it.
Crypto.
All right, Tom, Sam, partners in crime. As always, what a fun. We got a couple of new shows coming up this week. Wednesday, you're going to be able to hear our conversation with superstar writer Ed Brubaker.
The most dangerous man.
He accuses us of hating America, and then we accuse him back. Who wins? Listen, the terrorists. Yeah.
And then
Osama bin Laden's wringing his hands right now.
And then on Friday, you'll be able to hear my conversation with the writer of The Exterminators, Mr. Simon Oliver. So 2 more episodes coming up.
The
this
interview
week,
we weren't invited to, Tom?
The private interview.
I hear he can do a good American accent.
Simon?
Hello. I'm writing a comic book.
I should probably read that sometime.
Everyone have a fantastic couple days. We'll be back again on Wednesday with the Ed Brubaker interview. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in...
And around comics!
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.